So when we talk about Mother's Day, so if you are here long enough, or in the church long enough, you'll notice that sometimes the preacher loves to use Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. It's like the best example of a woman or of mothers in the scripture. Now, rest assured, this morning's sermon is not about that. We are not going to put some, expectations, unrealistic expectations on mothers today. So, mothers, just get, just relax. Alright, just relax. Today, we are expecting, mothers to be somebody like Proverbs 31. So, some of the expectations from Proverbs chapter 31 is that a mother or a woman has excellent character or integrity, verse 10. A mother or a woman is trustworthy, seeks to do good towards others, works diligently, makes wise decisions, and is compassionate to help those in need. You notice that all this criteria is not only expected of mothers alone. So mothers, relax. All right, relax. Because you know that, we know that all the messages or all the instructions from the scripture is for fathers, is for mothers, is for children, is for each and every one of the children of God. All right. So whether you are a mother or not, you are to have excellent character and integrity, etc. and etc. Now, being a mother, I acknowledge that it is one of the hardest jobs on the planet. So if you can see the photo there, a mother seems to have six arms. They can cook, they can shop for groceries, they can iron the clothes, they can clean the house, they can take care of the children's needs, almost at the same time. And in my experience, they can find, or rather my mom can find anything within her territory. I forgot to introduce my parents. They are here for the first time, seated at the back there. Alright, it just so happened that they were with our family for the past week because my dad needed to go to HKL. Alright, my house is nearer to HKL, so we invited them over, and then I'll update the conditions of my dad in the prayer group. Alright, so coming back, it's not easy being a mother. Okay, and then if, for those old-timers, we have this. If you know the Golden Girls, Dorothy on the Golden Girls said that it's not easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers would do it. I beg to differ. Alright? Mothers have mother's role to play. Fathers has father's role to play in the family as well. So for fathers, we'll talk about it on Father's Day. And, the relationship between the husband and the wife, we'll talk about it end of this month. Alright? So, once again, I do not agree that it is it's not easy to be a mother, neither being a father. It is not easy. Okay, I myself is the father of one at the moment, the second one coming out in August. So, continue to pray. Because we need to juggle a lot of things. My wife's inside there. Alright, it's not easy. But from mothers, right, we are able to see beautiful phrases. Okay, so we have about three beautiful phrases about God's love expressed through the mothers in our life. Now, the first one that I would like to share with you is that the closest love to God's love is to witness the love of a good mother. The best mothers are a window into the heart of God. And a mother's love is the closest thing to God's love we can imagine. Well, that is like the very high expectation and also praise to all mothers. Apart from God's love, the next in line accordingly is supposed to be a mother's love. That is indeed a great praise and adoration to our mothers. So let's turn to our passage this morning. If you have your Bible with you, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. Let me read to you. Verse 7, we were like young children, or in other translation, we were gentle among you, Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we care for you. And because we love you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Our lives as well. So as we pay tribute to our mothers this morning, there are only 2 points. Expressions of motherly love according to this passage is that mothers are gentle, they show care and love to their children. So the first part of verse 8 included, because we love you. We were like young children, or we were very gentle among you, and just like a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you, because we love you so much. Now love is the reason we seek to share our lives together. And you notice that this passage is written by Paul, included Silas into it, mentioning to the Thessalonian brothers and sisters because of their love and care for those who are new in the faith. So you notice that this was written by Paul, a man, to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So once again, a reminder to each and every one of us that motherly love, the expressions of motherly love, is not only confined to mothers alone. So if you are basically a child of God, we are to be gentle, we are to be showing care and love to those around us. But somehow to mothers, it seems that it is an innate ability. They seem to be able to be gentle and show care and love to their children more than father. Because of this, I believe, is this process. A nursing mother imparts her own life to her child, who is in her arms and next to her heart. Can you just imagine the picture of this? Such a beautiful picture that God has given to us. And yesterday, you know, we had a wedding dinner, and likewise, I tried to carry Krista in this manner because she was sleeping during the session, and I realized that it was so tough, especially for a father. My left hand almost got, I can no longer use my left hand after a while. But mothers, they have an innate ability that God has been blessing them, that it is natural for them to be gentle, to love, and to care, especially for their own children. Once again, a reminder that as father, as the rest of us, we too need to experience and we need to also show our care and love to the people around us. And no doubt that it takes time. No doubt that it is hard work. No doubt that it takes a lot of energy to care for young children, especially if you have boys in the family. I thank God we have girls. She is an angel. She is a bundle of joy. And even though she is active, but she is not as active as what we have expected of a boy. So we thank God for that. I think God knows that we cannot handle a boy. So as we look at our mothers, do we see a glimpse of God's love for us through our mothers? Do we see a glimpse? Now the second point for us through our mothers. Now the second point, Christian mothers share the gospel in their lives out of love. The second part of verse 8, because we love you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Now this one, I have a very good example. I have a few examples, actually. About 1 month ago, I sent a WhatsApp messages to some of our parents, especially mothers here. And if you remember, our theme for this year is Mom, You're So Sweet. And very often, we don't realize that our moms are so sweet because they keep nagging. They just keep saying that, you know, you should do this, you should do that, don't do this, don't do that, you know. So once we talk about mom, all this just sort of floods into our mind. You know, remembering that, oh, mom, I should do this, I forgot to do that. But you will be surprised. After this, I will be revealing some of the answers to my 2 questions. And I hope that through these answers, you'll be able to see deep down inside of our mothers how sweet they truly are. So the two questions that I ask them are this. Through WhatsApp, what do mothers want for their children? And what do mothers want from their children? Two simple questions. Mothers took one day, the fastest reply that I received, one day, all the way to about 1 month for them to reply me. So apparently from this we can see that mothers, is either they are too occupied with all the housework and all their responsibility at home, or perhaps nobody asked them about these questions ever. Because mother is just like a candle who keeps burning and burning and burning without expecting much from their children. So when I asked them this question, I realized that, you know, they could be stunned. Some of them, they mentioned that, oh, I never thought of all these questions before. But you'll be surprised at what they ultimately want for their children. So those who are in white, right, it is for the first question, what do mothers want for their children? And for that, in the light blue, it is what the mothers want from their children. So very quickly, let me read to you. I did not edit anything, or whatever the mother's type, I just put it in. I think generally all mothers want their children to be happy and healthy, don't we all? For Christian mothers, our prayers are for our children to stay faithful to the Lord. And what she wants from her children is that what a mother wants is that they will respect, they will obey, they will love, and they will be grateful to the parents. And the siblings will help and love, or love and help each other. So this is from mom number one. And mom number two, a bit long. Children are not ours to own, but our responsibility to love, to nurture, and to guide. Obviously, you know that this is definitely from a Christian mom. Mothers only want the best of everything for their children, and we make sacrifices in order that our children can get the best. And as a Christian, we make it our prayer for our children to know God and to serve Him. So you notice that they are gentle, they care, they show love, they share their lives, they share the gospel of God because of their love for their children. And what this mom wants from her children is that we want nothing material from them but their love, their respect, honor, care, and patience with us, especially when we are old and incapable of caring for ourselves. For them to know that we may not be able to solve some of their issues in life, but for them to know that we are always available for them. Mother's love. Now the third one, for his salvation and his faithfulness, that this child received bountiful mercy and grace from God, and so he learns to show mercy and grace to others too. For his good health and long life, for wisdom and knowledge, that he can play music, for a gift of teaching, for true companionship, that he could endure hardship and gain strength and power, influential and strong leadership, respect women and protect the meek, a voice for the voiceless. So you notice that, you know, mom sort of listed everything down. From the physical needs, to the emotional needs, to the spiritual needs, everything that encompasses a child's life. That's why you have such a windy response. But nevertheless, you notice that they meant good. Out of the bottom of their heart, whatever that they have replied and shared with us today, they meant the best for their children. And what this mom expects from her child is that respect and appreciation, love and companionship, close relationship with trust, a bit more, grandchildren. All right, a bit practical. And then very quickly, this is another sister, another mother, to be saved in God's kingdom, to have a relationship with Jesus and go through earthly life with Jesus by their side, be a useful and resourceful and happy person. And this mother hoped that from their child to do the right thing in God's sight, remember home, come back home and enjoy the family, be responsible and live a fulfilled life with God. And we have mothers who are very concise. Each of that is from one mother. To accept Christ, to experience Jesus' personally, to have good health and happiness, to be there for their child. So again and again and again and again, we see that there are certain things that is like common. Okay, so let me summarize them for you. And of course, there are a few mothers, because it's too long, that I did not manage to put it in there because of time issue. Generally, let me try to summarize it for you. So what do mothers want for their children? By and large, generally, it's like one big package. Mothers want the best for their children to have choices and to make good choices. And for the children to have choices, you will notice that mothers, parents put their very best, especially in their education. They will expose them to piano, violin, flute, woodwind, ballet, everything under the sun, so that their children will ultimately have choices to make. Education is a very good example. Mothers want their children to be healthy and happy as well. But more than that, we see from the responses, they want their children to walk with the Lord. Because when we have God in our lives, we literally have everything else that we ever really needed. So for our children to have Jesus in our life, basically our children will be taken care of by God Himself. And what do mothers want from their children? Time, love, respect. And this also coincides with two verses that I shared here. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And Ephesians 6, 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now, as a child growing up, I noticed that Krista sometimes does not show respect to my wife, Celine. And when that time happens, I will not tolerate with my daughter. I will straight away, in a way, discipline her there and then, saying that it is not right to show any disrespect for her mother. All right? And we noticed that, you know, children growing up, they do show disrespect to the mother now and there. But as parents, we need to remind them and guide them. We do acknowledge that, you know, we want to have the best mother ever in our life. But in the scripture too, we notice that mothers are not perfect. So how do we reconcile in that part where we do not have a so-called perfect mother? Or we do not have the mother that we so think we deserve. I do not have time to go through this whole passage, but in a very brief manner, I'll let you decide whether this mother is a good mother or not so good mother. So I believe all of us know of the story. Matthew chapter 20, let's look at the whole passage in a very brief manner. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16, this is where Jesus shared about the parable of the workers in the vineyard, where, you know, the first hour all the way to the last hour, whoever came, you know, Jesus gave them, or the landlord, all right? The landlord gave them the same amount. All right, this is the parable that's mentioned there. And right after that, Jesus predicts his death a third time. And right after that, this is the passage that I want you to look at. A mother's request. The mother of Zebedee's sons, sons of Zebedee, James and John. This is the mother that we are going to look at in a while. All right, whether this mother is a good mom or a not so good mom. And after that, we have Jesus healing two blind people. All right. So let us look at Matthew chapter 20 and you decide for yourself. Okay, the background is that the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the two-thirds of the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. Okay, this is the context. This is the mother that we are talking about. And this mother, if we compare the scripture, is named Salome. And this mother asked Jesus that her sons be part of the kingdom, and she had big expectations. One of them seated at the right side of Jesus, and the other seated at the left side of Jesus. So Jesus at the middle, left and right, either John or James. Both of them must be at the side of Jesus. And from this alone, we see that, wow, this mama, big expectations. And as we look at the whole passage earlier, Jesus talked about everybody who served, you know, it depends on God of His generosity to reward. Then after that, you notice that Jesus talked about his death. And Salome was there throughout the whole time. And this is where she said and she decided to ask Jesus for a place for her two sons. Because both of them are in the inner circle of the disciple. So as a mother, I think, you know, she's thinking about the son's future. So Jesus, when you come in your kingdom, make sure that both of them is by your side. This is a mother's heart. But we notice that Jesus was speaking about the cross before that. But three of them, they were interested in a crown. Three of them, they wanted reserved seats on special thrones. From a mother's point of view, they want, and she wants the best for her children. But sometimes, mothers too can be blinded at things. But that is not the end of the story. Some of us, we may think that, oh, okay, so Jesus said that they cannot take the cup that he is going to bear. But that is not the end of the story, because Christ displayed his sacrificial love through his death on the cross. Perfect love is one that is shown to us through God alone. And it is a good reminder for each and every one of us today that mothers are also limited. Their love for us is also limited. But God's grace is new every morning. So that is not the end of the story of this mother, James and John. So let's look on. This is where we notice that, you know, in the last line there, comparing Matthew chapter 27 to Mark 15, Salome is the mother of the Zebedee's son. Okay, and if you look at Salome, you notice that the name was mentioned many, many times after that, especially starting from the death of Jesus on the cross. So Salome was there when Jesus was nailed on the cross. Can you imagine when Salome watched Jesus in the middle? And who are those beside him? Criminals, sentenced to death. God's mercy is new every morning. Salome was one of the ladies or one of the women who went and witnessed the resurrection of Christ, the empty tomb. And we know that his son was the first to be killed as a martyr. In Acts chapter 12, verse 2, King Herod had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. This is the ending of his son. And the second son, Revelation 1:9, he lived up to an old age, but in exile. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Salome asked for great expectations. James and John to be beside Jesus when the day comes. But because God's grace was new every morning, his mercy is sufficient for each and every one of us, even for Salome, James and John. And you notice that they had the privilege to experience God's love, to be faithful to the point of death, and I believe God indeed had rewarded them to the full. To give Salome the privilege to be there to witness the empty tomb, for James to be the first martyr, and for John to experience such greatness until the end of his life. If you have a child, and if you are a mother sending off your child to an overseas for study, at the airport, what do you think will be the last words before the child leaves her mother to board the flight? What do you think the mother will say to the child? Zapsang. This is Cantonese, huh? I believe the mom will have three different areas to cover. Like all mothers, they will cover everything. First of all is that, you know, most probably they'll say something like this. Me and my dad, you know, me and your dad has taught you everything that we know. We have guided you to who God is. And we pray that God will sustain you, especially when you are out studying in the foreign land. If there's anything wrong, don't hesitate to let us know. If there's everything wrong, come back to us. And I believe this is the best response from a mother, from a father, to their child who is going to leave or study. Prepare them for life. Reminded them that God is always with them. Anything happens, anything wrong, come back to the family. That is, I think, is the best example that I can think of. Now, to end our sermon for today, let me give you a brief true story from the Second World War Holocaust period. There's one guy with the name of Solomon Rosenberg, and his family, you know, they were captured and they were arrested, placed in a Nazi concentration camp, and that camp happens to be a labor camp, so they have to work. And as we know, you know, working in such a dreadful environment, the parents, you know, Solomon's parents, the father and the mother, who is old, they were first to march off to their death, because the rules there is that as long as you can do your work, you can survive. You can live. When you become too weak to do your work, then you will be eliminated. That was the rule. So obviously, the elderly father and mother, they were marched off to their death because they were simply old. And then Solomon knew that the next one in line will be his youngest son, David, because he is born weak and frail. So every evening, you know, Solomon, he goes back, and inside the barracks, he tries to look for his wife, you know, Joshua, the elder son, and David. So he look. And then when he found them, they cuddled together, they gave thanks to God for another day of life. And this continues on until one day. One day, Solomon did not see those familiar faces. He look in the mist, he cannot find. But he found Joshua in a corner crying. So at one corner there, Joshua was crying. And he asked, Surely David was not much off in a way. And now Joshua replied that, you know, David was not strong enough to do his work. So they came for him and marched him away. But Solomon asked, where is your mom? Where is your mother? Where is your mother? Surely she is strong enough. And Joshua replied, when they came for David, David was afraid and David cried. So mom said, there is nothing to be afraid of, David. And she took his tiny arms and they marched off together to their death. This is motherhood. This is motherhood. And just as a mother willingly suffers with her child, we are reminded of God's willingness to suffer with all of humanity. And we are called to imitate this love for one another. That you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So each and every one of us here, we are a child of God. And we have welcomed the message in the midst of our suffering in our life here with joy. With joy given to us by the Holy Spirit. And because of that, God has called Paul to write to us and ask us to be imitators of Paul and to be imitators of Lord Jesus Christ himself. That towards the point of suffering, to have joy and to have hope. Because motherhood, especially to all mothers, motherhood is a call to suffering in hope. In hope. So mothers, all the more hang on to God's word and promises for our daily strength. Parents, fathers, we know that it is not easy. Husband and children, shower your wife or with your mom with time, love, and respect. Mothers are gentle, showing care and love to her children. And Christian mothers, especially, share the gospel in their life out of love. So once again, I would like to invite all mothers to stand where you are. We would like to offer up a special prayer to you this morning to honor your commitment, to honor your sacrificial love today, and to give thanks to God for His special example of love to us, to mothers. So may I invite all mothers to stand where you are. And if your spouse is with you, if your children is with you, may I invite you to extend your hand towards your mother as we pray for them. Extend your hands to your mother, to your spouse, as we pray for them this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for mothers. Lord, we know that they have sacrificed a lot for each and every one of us. And Lord, though not all of us are mothers, but Lord, all of us are born of mothers. So Lord, we pray that you help us to love our mothers when we still have the time and the privilege and the opportunity to do so. And Lord, we pray that for those who have some relationship issue with their mothers, Lord, we pray that you help us to reconcile with one another. And Lord, we know that all mothers are not perfect. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to use mothers and continue to strengthen them, continue to bless them with good health and long life, so that, Lord, they can enjoy the fruit of their labor. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for the time that we share together as a family, praying that, Lord, you will grant us and you will grant us your mercy and grace so that, Lord, we can have even more time to enjoy each other's companionship and presence as we go through life together. So, Lord, we want to thank you for mothers because they are so, so sweet. They are like a candle that keeps burning and burning and burning for the family, for the children. But, Lord, we pray that you are the one that gives them the strength to carry on. You are the one that is going to hold their hands when they are in sadness, when they are feeling grief and sorrow, Lord. We pray that you comfort them personally and help us as children, as the spouse, to continue to love them with the best of our ability. So Lord, we want to thank you for the time. We want to thank you for the encouragement. We want to thank you for the love that you have shown to us through mothers. We thank you for listening to our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.